IRS on the Road, value-based parenting and life balance ideas from world-traveling family coaches. Here's Richard and Linda Iyer.
Hello and welcome back to IRS on the Road. We're always glad to be with you, no matter where you are and no matter where we are.
Right. And we happen to be in Tulum in Mexico. I'll bet a lot of listeners are familiar with Cancun or Tulum or Cozumel or these delightful Yucatan, Mexico, Caribbean. You know, we love, many of you longtime listeners know we love Hawaii, and it's one of the family places we've spent a lot of time. And I even worked there as a young guy, which got us started on that. But we do also love the Caribbean, and anyone who tries to tell you they're the same is misinformed, right?
They are. It's beautiful here, and we are, it's especially beautiful
in a different way.
We are here with two of our families and two of our daughters, which is, well, two daughters and two sons, but the two sons have the families.
So four of our nine are here with us, although two of them left yesterday, so we're dwindling down.
We are, but we've been here this weekend having a wonderful time. Gosh, back to the sunshine and beautiful ferns everywhere and flowers and kids. Lots of kids, lots of noise. And we had a really scary thing last night.
Oh, gosh, we did. Well, our little three-year-old somehow jumped.
Four, honey, he's four.
Four, sorry, jumped in the pool without his water wings. And it was a little dicey for him, but he's fine. And luckily, his mom was pretty close. And luckily, he learned a lesson.
Well, his sister was right by him.
Oh, I'm good. Well, I just have such a phobia about kids being around pools. Don't you? I mean, let's not even talk about it, but it's all good. Everything's fine. And so we're...
Well, everything's beautiful because we're with our kids. It's so great. It's really noisy. And there's lots of food flying around, but it is so fun to be with them. I know that's how you feel when you're with your families. But this is a gorgeous spot on Earth. We're really lucky.
So let's jump into this now that you have the setting in your mind. And by the way, those of you who are taking the How to Live online course that we're doing can find some pictures of where we've been and what we've been up to and some metaphors we've found. I got interested the other day in the whole idea of ruins. We were at some ruins and we were thinking how they sort of symbolize what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks of stewardship and how so many of the things we do and spend our time on are, they become ruins. They break down. They become no longer important, no longer needed. They disappear. Whereas the stewardships, the important ones, the ones that matter, the children, the legacies we try to leave through our family, are the ones that last. So if you happen to want to look at Instagram, do that. But let's get into the last week of this month in October. We're talking about the final piece in our sort of mindset change, the idea of shifting, having a paradigm shift between the first half mentality of seeking control and ownership and independence, and putting those behind us. Those are first half thinking. They're paradigms that work while we're learning to negotiate the world and to operate on our own. But as we get in the second half of life, we need these higher paradigms. We substitute a mentality or a mindset of serendipity instead of control. We substitute a mindset of stewardship instead of ownership. And today we're talking about the third one. And I want you to just ponder as we get into it here, what is a similarly higher and more spiritual sort of alternative way of thinking to the first half thinking of independence? That's what everyone seems to be seeking. And we feel that it's a dead end street. And frankly, that it's a lie. None of us are independent. It's the furthest thing we are in a spiritual or emotional or social sense. We're completely dependent on God or on a higher power or on the universe, depending on how your belief structure works. But we're not independent in any of those paradigms. And we're so completely interdependent on so many other people, and indeed on the whole world and all of nature and everything else. So we want to talk today about how to get rid of this mindset or paradigm of independence in the second half of life and adopt a paradigm or a feeling or a way of looking at life, a framework, if you will, that is vastly more spiritual and vastly more joyful, frankly, than thinking of ourselves as independent.
Well, I think of this is a different time of life because we're thinking a lot about a granddaughter who just got a job for the summer in Boston,
An internship
an
that we're so
internship,
proud of her and happy
and
for her.
which they're paying her for with, so it's kind of a job, but she is so excited for that independence because she has been in school and dependent on her parents and other things to get through, and now she is going to be independent and we'll learn a whole lot about synergicity. But as we know, independence is important when we're young. But when as we get older and we're in the second half of life, dependence on others is also important and synergy with them.
You said that really, really well. And think of all three of the deceivers, as we call them, control and ownership and independence, as they're a course, they're a learning process. They're a part of the first half of life that makes us grow up
Yeah, it's
and makes us
important.
take responsibility and so on. But now in the second half, think of these marvelous alternative mentalities. And let's just read you a little kind of pull it into play on the idea of independence.
So, how can one speak or write against independence in a land founded on it and emancipated by a document called the Declaration of Independence? Of course, independence is a desirable political condition. And of course, personal independence is an asset in the sense of thinking for oneself and taking care of oneself, which we were just referred to in our college age daughter.
Yeah. But like the other two deceivers, it gets dangerous and even damaging when it's carried too far, especially when it's carried into our spiritual lives, our social lives, our relationships, our emotional makeup. We have become a nation that worships independence and that equates strength with not needing other people, with going it on our own. It's easy to forget in this mode how interdependent we all are, and how it is our collective intelligence that has allowed us to progress as far as we have as humans. Listen to this interesting point.
As someone named Matt Ridley explains in his book, The Rational Optimist, at some point, human intelligence became collective and cumulative in a way that happened in no other animal. He explains that he has on his desk two similar-sized man-made objects. One is a Stone Age axe, and the other is a computer mouse. Ha! One was made by one person, the other by thousands of different people, each specializing in one thing but working in tandem to create and produce technology. This collective intelligence and interdependence is what allows the vast progress that independence would never have generated.
Isn't that an interesting
That
metaphor?
is really.
Because the two objects on his desk are the same size and kind of the same shape. One's a little computer mouse and one's a handmade hand axe.
That's not the same shape, honey.
Well, kind of. I mean, they're wedges. They're both wedges, you know.
Well, it
And
depends on the mouse.
yeah, and
Yeah.
so and there they
Anyway.
are. And to illustrate his point, the collective interdependent way that the computer mouse is made. So the thing that's interesting to need and to be needed is what keeps us human. It's what keeps us humble. It's what keeps us honorable. Perhaps the most dangerous independence construct of all is that it makes it too easy to forget our complete and entire dependence on the higher power that gave us life and that gives us every breath we breathe. And again, we're not trying to be, I said breathe, I meant breathe. We're not trying to be overly religious here, but whether you believe in a God or whether you simply believe in the universe and in the things that are so much bigger and more powerful, of which we are a tiny part, it just doesn't work to think of independence. It works to think of interdependence. And here's the real crux of it.
Well, this is funny. The real problem with independence is in the I, the capital I.
The first letter of it.
Independence at the lengths we often try to carry it is the attitude of I. It's about me and about what I can do on my own. Real life, the way God intended it to be lived, is always about we, about us, about our interdependence. It's about how all of us are brothers and sisters because we are all His children and all equally and totally dependent on Him. The old positive can-do attitude is a great start, but a better and higher place is a positive can't-do attitude that essentially says, of myself, I am nothing and can't do much of anything, but with the help of friends and family, and most of all with the guidance and spiritual assurance of God, I can do things of true meaning.
So I hope in the first half of the show today, we've kind of made you think about the fallible idea of independence and that it really isn't even a truth. We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're going to have a reveal. We're going to unveil the mindset, the paradigm, the framework of thinking that we think should replace independence in the second half of our lives.
So we'll be right back. Hang on.
Welcome back to Iyer's on the Road. Here's Richard and Linda Iyer.
And we're back. We hope you enjoyed your reprieve. This is kind of deep today, honey. It really is, but it's something that we need to think about, that we've been thinking about a lot, but we love sharing it. We love teaching this to our kids too, because it's really an important part of progress in life.
Well, and Linda, I love words that start with S and have 11 letters.
I know. I know.
So the other two alternatives, as you know, and if you haven't listened to the first two, you can just go back and listen to the last 2 weeks. But the alternative to control is serendipity. That's an 11-letter S word. And the alternative to ownership is stewardship, 11-letter S word. So back in the day when we were trying to come up with our own alternative for independence, we came up with a word called synergicity. Don't try to look that up in the dictionary because it's not there, but you could look up synergy, which is the one you just mentioned, honey, and we'll get into exactly what that means.
Synergicity should be a word because it has 11 letters and because we need it to explain what we're talking about.
Right, and the other word is synchronicity, which you can look up, but don't do it. We're going to tell you about it. And if you put those two words together and their meanings together, you get this remarkable new word, synergicity.
The third alternative is an attitude that not only pulls us out of the deceptive and negative clutches of the false concept of independence, it also complements and attracts serendipity and stewardship.
They work together. It required the coining of a new word. As many will quickly recognize, it's a combination of synergy and synchronicity. And you've already kind of defined this, but let's tighten it up here, honey.
Okay, synergy is an important and currently very popular word, meaning the combination of two or more people, approaches or points of view, where the total is greater than the sum of its parts. 1 + 1 = 3. 2 + 2 = 5 or more. When two people or groups of co or companies or concepts complement each other or motivate each other in certain ways, the combined result can be much greater than the aggregate of what each could do independently.
And the word actually comes from the Greek word synergos, which means working together. That's its literal Greek meaning. The dictionary defines synergy as a mutually advantageous conjunction where the whole is greater than the sum of its parts, or as a dynamic state in which combined action is favored over the sum of individual component actions. So think of the axe and the mouse on the guy's desk. While the word synergy is used a lot in business, it's best used maybe in human relationships, particularly in marriage. A husband and wife working together with complementary skills and perspectives should produce a synergistic marriage that accomplishes much more. And I'll tell you, I don't like to hold us up as an example of very many things because we got so many flaws and problems, but I love the fact that we are so interdependent, honey, that nobody wants one of us to come and speak. They want us to come together. And if we ever do speak or write independently of the other one, it just doesn't turn out as well because it turns out that all my flaws are your strengths.
No, I disagree with
So
that.
there you go.
I disagree with that. And I disagree with the writing thing. You are the master writer. I enjoy doing some things and maybe better at some things than you, but you are definitely better at
So
writing.
why didn't we just use synergy as the alternative to independence? Well, because it lacks something. There's another deal, the amazing cosmic sort of perfect timing quality where things suddenly fit together, the timing of them, perhaps some higher influence we don't fully understand. So we want to add the quality of synergicity. Now, listen to this one. You're going to like this.
You just said synergicity, but you mean synchronicity, right?
Yes, right. Sorry, the other word we're bringing in here to make the word.
Okay.
Yeah, go.
Synergicity. Synchronicity
Yeah,
is a
we're
term.
both doing it because we've said it so
Synchronicity
many times.
is a term made up by Carl Jung. See, so if you can make up words, I guess he can make up words.
If he can make them
The
up,
other
so
way
can
around.
we.
Yeah. Carl Jung, the Swiss psychiatrist known for his explanation of the subconscious mind, used the word to describe what he called temporarily co coincident, temporarily coincident occurrences of occasional events. Did you
Yeah,
get that?
of a causal events. In other words, he variously described synchronicity as a causal. In other words, you can't find cause and effect, but it's a pattern of connection that can't be explained by direct causality. And so he also said it's an a causal parallelism where things just happen together and in tandem without any apparent linkage. It's a fascinating word. It's a little theoretical, but you get the idea. The best dictionary definition is one we found not long ago that says the coincidental occurrence of events, and especially psychic events in our minds, as similar thoughts in widely separated persons, or a mental image of an unexpected event before it even happens, that seem related, but they're not explained by conventional mechanisms of cause and effect. So Jung may not have appreciated how spiritual what he was saying is, the idea that there are outside of the mind causes for things that seem to go beyond coincidence. So his word is fascinating because it gives us a way to talk about those amazing moments that we've all experienced when something just seems to converge. Where it seems like, wow, the whole universe just plotted together to coalesce behind my happiness or well-being in that 1 minute. It suggests the interconnectedness of the micro and the macro, like the thing we've all heard about a butterfly flaps its wings in Brazil and it affects the climate in New York, or the thought and reality connections of someone calling you just at the moment you were thinking about them and they call you. There's just all these unexplainable
Well,
things.
that makes more sense than the flapping wings of a
Don't
butterfly
think
in
too much
Brookville
about that one.
affecting the climate of New York City. I don't know. I need to read more about that. Anyway, when you add the spiritual dimension, synchronicity becomes a way to talk about the amazing timing of God's tender mercies in our lives. Now that makes sense to me. And the connections between the thoughts and feelings of loved ones that can't be explained in cause and effect terms. It teaches us that coincidence is a word we use when we don't notice God's hand in things. So that's interesting.
A lot of people love to say that there are no coincidences. Everything happens for a reason, and so on. I don't think that's true. I think there are coincidences. There are some things that don't happen for a reason. But the idea is, so often, if we look for this synchronicity, we can find it. And synchronicity therefore becomes kind of a rescuer and a restorer of joy rather than a destroyer.
But I do like the part of it's the timing of God's tender mercies in our lives. We don't realize it until it's over. We think, oh my gosh, that was amazing. How did that happen? And it was actually a direction. Maybe it's angels, maybe it's God, an interception of whatever you need right at that moment. It's amazing that it happens over and over again.
So to make it simple, just think of the synergy as people working together have a result that's greater than the sum of its parts, and think about the synchronicity as timing and the way things happen and the interconnectedness of things that we can't fully explain, but that we sense is there. And so that brings up this combined word, synergicity. And what we love about it in our own definition of it is that it focuses on family and friends and relationships and communities, on connecting everything to the greater whole instead of looking for ways to do better than another person. It aims instead to do better with another person. And instead of striving to do things in spite of your circumstances, it prompts us to do things within and in harmony with the realities that surround us. And in its most spiritual dimension, instead of the goal of lifting ourselves by our bootstraps to the objectives or goals or whatever we've set, it teaches us to let God or a greater power than us lift us through the divine destinies that He has for us.
Yeah, just going back for a second to this granddaughter who's interviewed at several companies and worked so hard on each one, and just they kept falling through, like, you're fabulous, but we just have too many, or whatever the deal was. And then she just got this
And
wonderful
it was better
opportunity.
than any of the
It
others.
was better, as in a better place. It was just a lot more money. It was just amazing. And sometimes we just keep wishing for things that we can't get, and then we find that we are going to get something that's better than we could have imagined.
And another way to say it, this is a little, some would say this is a really simple kind of a cliche, but it just kind of resonates to me that I just love this phrase. God always says yes, unless He
He
has
has something
something
better
better in
in
mind.
mind.
And that was really the case with this granddaughter. It's also the case with our youngest son, Eli, and his wonderful wife, Julie, who have been getting ready to move back to New York. And she just needed a job in one of the better hospitals. She's a nurse. She's a wonderful nurse.
Quality for children.
And it just wouldn't come, and it wouldn't come. And they were living with us for a while, and they wanted to get on their way. And then, bam, the timing was suddenly right. And she went to New York to check on a job. And in one day, got the job at the best cancer hospital, perhaps in the world,
For children, yeah, for children with
for
cancer.
children with cancer, which is her specialty. And the same day, chanced on the perfect apartment for them, a
Yeah.
brownstone on the Upper West Side, which they love,
Somebody,
close
it
to
was a
the
friend of somebody who knew
and it
somebody.
just all of a sudden
Lovely.
came together because they the time it wasn't that they were looking for the wrong thing or whatever, it was the timing wasn't right, and suddenly it sort of by synchronicity, by synergicity, it fell into place. And that's what we're talking about.
Well, and you might think, no, like we're in the second half, or we're in the last quarter, let's face it. we don't have that anymore. Yes, we do. Things like that happen to us, and probably you, if you're aware of it, all the time. If you really want something, even if it's just a trip, we have a wonderful friend who just organized a trip to come to America. It was her dream to do it, and I'm sure she could explain to us the synergicity that occurred to help her come. It just happens to all of us.
Well, and when Eli and I were talking about this, it was interesting. We were saying, you know, of course you work and plan for things. You work and plan. That's first half thinking, but it's good first half thinking. You have a goal and you pursue it. You work and plan. But we were talking about there's another set of words, W and P, like work and plan, only completely different. And they sound a little passive, or a little sort of, you know, I'm just waiting, I'm just to see what happens. But they're actually very powerful. And they're words that are attributed to Jesus in the New Testament. In fact, if you were to try to look for a success formula or a pattern for life given by Jesus himself, you might not find anything better than when Jesus said, watch and pray. And when you think about it, Linda, that's what Julie and Eli have been doing. They had a goal. They've been working and planning. They've been trying to get it set up so they could move where they wanted to move, and he could do his job there, and Julie would have one there too, and it would be good for their kids, and the schools would work out. They've lived there before and wanted to go back. And they'd done all the work and all the planning, and it just didn't seem to be coming together. And then what they were also doing all the way along, in hindsight, they were watching and they were praying. They were, in other words, they were trying to be aware of what unexpected, sort of maybe not just what they had in mind, but something maybe even better that might come up, and how to get there in a way that was not only meeting their goals, but making them feel they were doing what God wanted them to do.
Yeah, and not only watching, but being totally aware of what they wanted, where they wanted to be, this neighborhood they wanted to be. And they really had a very clear idea of what they wanted to do. And all of a sudden, it doesn't always happen this way, but it just fell into place.
Just totally fell into place. So let's read you now our definition of our word. We can write the definition because we coined the word, right, honey? So read it slowly, because what a definition, right?
Synergicity is a combination of the words synergy and synchronicity and symbiotic. Wow, that's a lot of S's. Symbiotic does not have 11 letters.
I know, that's why we couldn't use it. We had to create this new
word. Oh, I get it.
We haven't brought up that word. Let me say a quick word about it, and then let's read this definition. This hopefully will pull it all together for a lot of us. A symbiotic relationship, as many of you know, is where people are not, or where people are organisms or animals or whatever, ideas, whatever, are not only, they're not only, they not only have synergy, they're necessary for survival. They depend completely, like the little suckerfish that hook onto the sharks, or like the, you know, there's a lot of marine life where they can't live without the other one. The little fish, like in the famous kid movie, the little ones that go in among the anemones,
you know.
And the one protects the other one, and the one nourishes the other one, and they can't live without each other.
Oh.
Symbiotic relationship. Nemo, little Nemo.
Nemo, yeah. That was it. Oh.
And so that's the extreme of synergy, where you can't live without each other. But now, with that in mind, read that one more time. This is the full-on definition.
Okay, so synergicity is a combination of words.
Of the words.
The words, synergy, synchronicity, and symbiotic. defined as a paradigm in which we acknowledge divine dependence, mutual interdependence, and respect for the beneficial interconnectedness of all things, times, and occurrences within the framework of a higher purpose. Did you get that? That is a mouthful.
Well, let's read it one more time. A combination of the words synergy, synchronicity, and symbiotic defined as a paradigm in which we acknowledge divine dependence, mutual interdependence, and respect for the beneficial interconnectedness of all things, times, and occurrences within the framework of a higher purpose. Okay?
That is a mouthful. That is a lot to think about.
And maybe the final thought before we run out of time is just the idea that when you think of that new word, synergicity, in a spiritual sense, that's when it really, you begin to understand that while our perspective and grasp of reality is narrow and limited by our veiled mortality, we only see a little slice of things. But we have three incredible tools at our disposal, each of which can open things up and give us a much broader view of a larger society. And we want to end with these. One tool is our own brain, where we learn to put things together. The second tool is other people's consciousness. Everyone knows something more than you do. And if you can tap into what they know that you don't, you are now in synergy. You are now in synergicity, right? And
right.
Then finally, the
spiritual connection to a more comprehensive grasp of all reality, wherein we have the awesome privilege of access to higher perspective. That is a gift, and that is really something that we need to hook into more often.
So just a quick metaphor, and then we'll end. So if you think of those three things, your brain is your own laptop. It's your smartphone or whatever device you have and normally use. But other people's experience and insights and perspectives now means you're tapping in. You're going online. You're finding out what everyone else knows and what is in their device and what is in their consciousness. And then the spirit is the perfected internet and Wi-Fi and Google and AI, where now you've got unlimited database. And so think of those ever-increasing things and how we want to have synergicity as our mindset rather than independence.
So we hope that if we've given you something to think about today, and we love that you joined us, and we hope to see you again on Ayers on the Road next time.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.